Fagai, and we're going to see that he starts the same year as Fagai, which is another proof for the fact that different Nevi'im can be living during the same time period. But you're going to see very shortly that he has a significantly different style than Fagai, somewhat so that Nevuat Zachariah is a key or nickname in the Rambam for the lowest level of Nevuah. And you'll see exactly what that means as we begin to speak about the Mar'ot of Zachariah. Various Parshanim explain the Marot in different ways and how many there are. The classic is the Abarbanel, who explains that there are eight, not simply Marot, but they're called Marot HaLaila, either because he literally envisions them at night, or because, again, they're night scenes, which means, as soon as I say you see something at night, what does that connote?
A dream.
Very nice. Either a dreamlike or a fuzzy-like type, meaning he sees them as darkish, not such good quality. Again, very well said. So, no matter how you look at these, the point is to appreciate that this is what Chazal call us Baklaria She'inam Iyira, and you'll see proof for this coming up shortly. But Paragal Pasugal, Bachodesh Hashmini, Bishnat Shayim Lezar Yavish, Hayat Varsham Lezachaya, Ben Brachya, Ben Ido Hanavi Lemor. Notice that here we have a case not simply of a Navi, Benavi, 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 which tells us that he's from a whole line of Nevi'im, and a significant one over here. Lemor, notice what we're going to see as Lashon Ophela Lashon, the alliteration, Katsap Hashem Alapotechem Ketzef. Hashem was angry at your father, is again very angry, but now, Zachariah, you're supposed to tell the people, call my Hashem Tzvot, Shuvu Eilayna Hashem Tzvot, Vashuv Alechem. You return to me and I will return to you. Keep in mind that Zachariah lives, and on one hand, after Nevi'im, such as Yirmiyahu and Yechezkel, whom we know have altered the formula for tshuva. What do I mean by this? If you open up Devarim Perek Lamed, which we made reference to in previous Shiurim, you'll remember that how does tshuva work, certainly on a national level? Who has to initiate? We have to initiate, right? Tshuva is written seven, the mila of tshuva is written seven times. We start off with a two-step process. HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to respond respectively in a two-step process. Then once we're in our tshuva, there's another state of tshuva, followed by Hashem returning to us. And then there's a reminder at the very end of the parak, Gen ki tashuv el Hashem Elokecha, that we're the ones responsible for taking the first step. What I meant by Yirmiyahu and Yechezkel changing this formula somewhat is that you'll remember not only in Eicha but in Yirmiyahu as well, instead of saying this classic form of Shuvo Eilai, Hashem is waiting for us to return to Him, and then He will mutually respond to us. Yirmiyahu says, Hashiveinu Hashem Eilecha v'nashuva chadishu minatei kedem. You, Hashem, return to us because, unfortunately, we're probably not going to initiate on our own. And then, once you return to us, we'll return to you. So notice that Zachariah is saying, that's not ideal. Again, the ideal is Shuvu Eilai. This, therefore, is the pasuk that generally people sing during Aseret Yemei Tshuva, because we're supposed to be encouraged and inspired to be the ones to take that step to Hashem. Shuvu Eilai Amar Hashem Tzvot, Vashuv Alechem Amar Hashem Tzvot. Al Tivei Avoteichem. So don't be like your forefathers, whom we just mentioned, were the ones who sinned and the ones that Hashem got angry about. Don't be like them. Asher karu aleihem haneviim harishonim. Here, I love this phrase. Everyone, don't be like the previous generation whom the neviim rishonim spoke to. And Leah smiling, because generally when we think of neviim rishonim, who do we think of? Yeshua, Shoftim, Shmuel, and Melachim. And we think of neviim achronim as Yeshayahu, Yirmiyahu, Yechezkel, Troyeser. When Zachariah is talking about the Nevi'im HaRishonim, who's he referring to? The earlier Nevi'im, meaning Yirmiyahu, Yeshayahu, Yirmiyahu, Yechezkel. Do you see this? Which tells us that this distinction of Nevi'im Rishonim and Nevi'im Achronim is not a chronological one. Right? Here's one proof. Another proof is the fact that Malachim overlaps with Yeshayahu, Yirmiyahu, and Yechezkel. You see that? And therefore, again, it really is just a term that Chazal use in order to distinguish the genre, right? The different style of Nevi'im. So here we continue. Don't, again, be like your parents who didn't listen to the earlier Nevi'im. Leimar kam Hashem Tzvot, they're the ones who screamed out, Shuvu namidakachem ha'ra'im ha'lechem ha'ra'im v'lo shemu v'lo ikshivu elai no Hashem. Now we're going to see the significance of Zachariah comparing them to the previous generation. Don't be like them. They didn't listen to their Nevi'im. They, again, therefore, sinned and were punished. And rather, avotechem ayehem, where are those avot that sins against me? Rather, v'nevi'im halo olam yichyu, and do you think that Nevi'im will live forever? And this is significant because we know that in the realm of at least the canon that we have, Zachariah, followed by Malachi, are going to be the last two Nevi'im. And this really goes back to Yechezkel Perek Yubet, wherein Hashem tells Yechezkel, because there's such a proliferation of Nevuat Sheker, Hashem is going to stop not only Nevuat Sheker, but in order to stop distorted messages of Nevuah, what do you have to do? stop all nevuah. So here, Zechariah is alluding to this as well, saying, Anna, what do you think? You think Nevi'im? You think Nevuah is going to be around forever? What type of message is he trying to give his generation? He's trying to tell them, look, Anna, Nevi'im aren't always going to be around to tell you that you're doing something wrong. Nevi'im aren't always going to be here and to wake you up and say, Shuv Elai. So instead, what is he encouraging them to do? Even if you don't have so many Nevi'im in the current state, just look back at the previous generations and you'll note what happens. Again, Nevi'im told that generation that they were sinful and they didn't listen and therefore they're punished. But if you look back at the words of the Nevi'im, you'll find that those who lived through it were able to recognize, oh my gosh, everything the Nevi'im said indeed came true. Everything that Hashem said he would inflict upon us, he did. And therefore, what am I meant to extrapolate from this? I'm meant to appreciate and infer from the past that all the words of the Nevi'im were in fact true, and therefore I should not repeat the sins of my forefathers. And basically what he's telling them is, you have a new opportunity, you have a new chance. Again, here you are in Eretz Yisrael, and don't mess up again. Right? Don't mess up with the mitzvah hatzuyot ba'aretz, don't mess up. Benadon l'makom, benadon l'chaveiro. Posuk zayin, v'yom, esrim v'arba'a l'ashtei asar chodesh, u'chodesh shvat, b'shnat shtayim l'dar yavesh. So now we have another nevuah, the same year as Haggai, and this is now, what date is this? Now this is interesting, because Zechariah, for the first time ever, in Tanakh, we have Esrim bar ba'al ashtei asar chodesh. This is Chaf Dalid, and now we hear, oh, by the way, Chodesh Shvat. What does that tell you? Any time, for example, with the previous Nevi'im, when we saw a date, I asked you to figure it out on your own, and you should be able to figure it out on your own, right? Because you're counting the dates, right? You're counting the months. Here, Zechariah says, oh, it's the 11th month. Oh, by the way, that's Shvat. What does that tell you? Sorry, that day? No. So it's still the 11th month from Nisan, but he says, oh, it's the 11th month.
They have a secular calendar also.
Very nice. And now they have a secular calendar. Or, you know how when I say, okay, what's the Chodesh HaTshi'i? Remember Haggai from yesterday? What was everyone doing? Nisan, Iyar, Sivan, Tammuz, Av, Elul, Tishrei, Cheshvan, Kislev. If you were living during that time, did you have to do that? No, because the official name for Kislev was Chodesh HaTshi'i. Do you see that? And so what does that tell you if Zechariah now says, oh, by the way, Chodesh Shvat, not just that they have a secular calendar, but they have more or less forgotten their original Hebrew calendar, right? He has to do what I would say we have to do in modern times, unfortunately. And then say, okay, guys, everyone, this is Chodesh Shvat, which tells you that these are a post-assimilated peoples. Do you see that? And this is very sad, by the way. And he says, it's Chodesh Shvat b'shnat shayim l'dar l'dayah v'shayat v'asham Zechariah ben b'chayah v'nidol ha-nevi l'imor. Almost as if the nevuah is starting anew. And this is a way of saying we're starting, yes, a new series of nevuot, giving us the impression that Hashem came to him once, gave him a general message, and now he's going to give him another message, but we're going to see that the two are related. Ra'iti ha-layla. This is where we get the term of marot ha-layla, these night visions from. ויאמר השם את המלאך הדובר בי, דברים טובים, דברים ניחומים. ויאמר אלי המלאך הדובר בי, קרא לאמור, כאמר השם צבאות, קינאתי לירושלים ולציון קינה גדולה. וקצף גדול אני קוצף על הגויים השננים אשר אני קצפתי מעט, והמה עזרו לרעה. Now you'll notice why I read it straight through. What did I want you to see? Even though we're beginning the series of Marot HaLaila, of these prophetic night visions of Zechariah, how do you know that this nevuah relates directly to the first nevuah that he gave? Pasuk Tetvav is basically the closure for Pasuk Bet. Everyone see that? Again, Ketzef Gadol ani kotzif al agoyim hashananim. The same anger with which I was angry and spilled out my wrath on the people living during the end of the time of Bayit Rishon. Now it's time, payback time basically. Now I'm going to express that same wrath on the goyim asher ani katzafti ma'at vehim asru l'ra'ah. I was a little angry at Am Yisrael, but what did they do? They took out even much more. They facilitated more than I asked for. This is the basis for, remember when we learned Habakkuk, for the idea of Hashem telling a nation that they're going to be the vassal, they're going to be the emissaries, the intermediaries for punishing Am Yisrael, and yet nonetheless, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to punish them because what did they do wrong? You went way and beyond what HaKadosh Baruch Hu had asked of you. So that's the basic idea. Now we're going to take a look at this nevuah. Can anyone tell me just by hearing the repetitive phrases, what's a little strange about this nevuah that leads the Rambam to say this is a level in and of itself? Notice that there seems, beyond Zachariah here, there seems to be another character. Who's the character? Amalach. Hamalach HaDoverbi. Excellent. Right? Who is this Malach HaDoverbi? So the Rambam explains that in every nevuah, if you hear a voice, whose voice is it? It's the voice of a malach. Because only one person in the history of Am Yisrael, in the history of the world, for that matter, actually heard the voice of God, and that is Moshe Rabbeinu. And you can imagine that the Rambam wants to stay away from the voice of God, because if there's some physical association with God, then that will automatically limit God in terms of a corporeal association. So back to this idea. And if you hear a voice, it's a voice of a malach. But generally, does the Nabi say, when you hear a Nabi say, Kol Amar Hashem, does he say, the idea of the malach of the verbi is telling us that in fact there is an accompanying malach. Now, as I mentioned, Nevi'im don't say this. They don't say, oh, the malach did it. Rather, they quote Hashem. Why? Because it's not as if they see a malach. Not only that, there are some times that malachim will appear within the nevuah. And we've said that the Rambam is okay with this because it's all in his head, right? Now, the Rambam says that the nevuah of Zechariah is the lowest level because not only is it explicitly stated that he hears the voice of a malach, but he doesn't even understand what he's seeing. So the malach is there to do what? Not to give him an independent message, but rather to explain what he sees, right? Which is a very, very low level of prophecy, basically the lowest of the 11 levels that the Rambam talks about. And especially, the Rambam says there are two ways of envisioning nevuah. One is in a state of chalom, which means that you're in a dreamlike slash night state. And the other is that you're in a state of mar'eh. What is mar'eh? It means that you're in alert state generally during the day. Here, what do you think? Is this a night state or a day state? Well, it says ra'iti halayla. And the Rambam says even though the term of ra'iti, of a mar'eh, is used, it clearly is a chalom because he tells us that it was more of a chalom, giving us the impression that maybe he even saw this during the day, but he saw it as a chalom, as the lower level. So what did he see? This is what we're going to take a look at. He sees a man riding a red horse, and he's standing between the myrtles. Again, the horse is between the myrtles in the dell. And following this man with the red horse, there are other red horses and srukim. Who has an English before them? Because there are different understandings. Bordeaux, or what color does the JPS say? What do you have? Srukim Ulvanim. You also have a Bordeaux? Okay. Should I say? Like
Sorrel.
A Srukim?
Sorrel.
Sorrel, yeah. You also have a Sorrel, which is like a Bordeaux, a burgundy type, and Levanim. That's easy. These are white. Now, again, the moral is, you know, you see like horses that look reddish, right? That's the color of Srukim. But Omar Ma'ela Adoni. So he turns to his accompanying Malach and he says, what are these things? And notice that we have almost like wasted psukim, so to speak. And that the Nevi is trying to tell us that there's dialogue here. And one way of understanding this is, number one, to add creativity, and or also to tell us that this is a very strange scene. So the man, again, or I would say this vision of the man that he sees in his dream, answers, these, referring to the horses, are what Hashem sent in order to go about the land. And sure enough, they answer the malach. So, if you're really counting the malachim here, how many malachim are in the scene? There are really two malachim. One is this messenger in the form of a man who's standing in the dale. The other is Zachariah, as I'm going to call him, his right-hand malach, right, who's standing next to him. And sure enough, the malach, HaOmei Ben Adasim, says, Vayomru Hitalachnu Ba'aretz, V'inei Kol Aretz Yosheva V'Shoketet. What's his report? We've been, just like God said, we've been sent throughout the land, and we came back to tell you that the world is at peace. What's interesting, we just saw in Haggai that, what did Hashem say? Yes, there's going to be a major turn of events, and the land will be at peace. Just appreciating that this is the same time of Haggai, what does it mean that the world is at peace, recognizing that this is shortly again, relatively speaking, shortly after the proclamation of Koresh, telling you the Persian government is stable and the world's people are living in peace, more or less, right? There hasn't been a major world war. And then the Malach, apparently also this Malach Hashem, whom Zechariah now appreciates, is obviously coming to represent the he's a messenger of Hashem. He now, so to speak, turns to Hashem and says, wait, if the whole world is at peace, then Hashem, it's time to have mercy over Yerushalayim, v'tzarei Yehuda, asher za'amta ze shivim shana, that you have been angry with for 70 years. So we're going to get back to this in just a minute. But I had mentioned this in the first month when it comes to these visions. Here we find a major machloket between the Rambam and the Abarbanel. According to the Abarbanel, if Zechariah is seeing these three plus horses, right, the different colors of horses, the Abarbanel will explain that, again, if you, the idea of a mashal in Nevuah is for one to appreciate and delve into it and try to appreciate the significance of every single detail of this mashal. So, for example, he says Lavan represents the empire of, take a guess, Greece. And the Adom represents the empire of Edom, right, Rome. And the Srukim represent the empire of, of Paras, Yefema'od. And then the Abarbanel says, well, maybe they're actually representing Bavel and Paras, right? Again, all different possibilities over here. But he says the different color horses are significant in terms of representing different ideas in the Nimshal. I just want to give you, again, an interesting methodological overview over here. The Rambam says, when you look at Mishalim and Nevuah, he says this in Mor HaNevuchim, be very careful. Be careful of what? Not to. He says the exact opposite of the Abarbanel. I said this completely out of order because the Rambam obviously precedes the Abarbanel. So he says, don't look at a Mashal Nevui and start trying to draw parallels between the Mashal and the Nimshal, because you're not going to find them. Right? You know how, do they still have allegories, the analogies on the SAT? Misses that? No? They got rid of them? They probably did because, really, a while ago? Okay. Why'd they get rid of them? Very nice. I think they found that they were very, very subjective. Right? And that's what it is. I could draw numerous, again, types of analogies. And the Rambam says, this is going to drive you crazy. Either you're going to distort the message of the Mashal, and that would be a shame because then you're never really going to understand the Nimshal. Or, says the Rambam, you're going to get so caught up with the details that you're going to look at the trees and you're not going to see the entire forest. And here's a good example. The Rambam doesn't explain what this is, but it doesn't have to mean that each of these three represents specific empires that you're familiar with throughout history. Rather, how many of you have seen the film Crimson Tide? An old film about, I'll just tell you, I'm going to tell you who the main actors are and you're going to tell me what the movie's about. Gene Hackman and Denzel Washington.
What kind of rights are you talking
about? Okay, it's about racism, that's right. Again, they're both, Gene Hackman is the captain of a U.S. submarine, and Denzel Washington is the second in command, and they receive a garbled message from a Soviet submarine, and they're unsure whether the message is, we're coming to attack, or we need help, right? Can you help us now? And here, Gene Hackman believes that, what are they coming to do? Coming to attack, so what do we have to do? We have to preempt and attack them first. Very nice. Denzel Washington says, no, if the message was not one of attack, and we attack, then what did we just do? We may start a world war, right? Whereas here we have an opportunity for peace. Anyway, they're debating this the entire time. In the end, Denzel Washington, they don't. He causes, you did see this? No? You know what happens. You want to, should I give it away? I'll give it away. Yeah, it's okay. Then, you're probably not going to see this old movie, but in the end, Denzel Washington starts a mutiny aboard, and even though Gene Hackman said that they have to attack in order to prevent them from dying, they end up not. Then Gene Hackman court-martials Denzel Washington. And in the end, fine, I won't tell you the very end. Is that okay? But, fine, I will. You'll see why, because it does relate to this. So throughout all their debates, there's a subtle debate going on, and that is that they're both horse lovers, right? They talk about the stronger horses. And there's a machloket, are the horses from Spain stronger or the horses from Portugal? And if you don't know this, I remember saying, oh, Nevuat Zechariah. Right, what do I mean by this? And the horses from Spain are white. The horses from Portugal are black. So Denzel Washington obviously believes the horses from Portugal are stronger and faster. Do you see the subtle racist, again, debate that's going on. And then I'll just tell you, they walk out of the courthouse. At the very end, Gene Hackman goes over to Denzel Washington and says, "The horses from Portugal are stronger." There, that was the end. That's, so now you can fill in the rest on your own. But again, how does this relate? You're wondering, why in the world am I talking about this here? Because what we see is that what do different colors of horses represent? Not necessarily different, again, different empires. They represent different places of the world. Very nice. Different breeds that are indigenous to different countries. Does everyone see that? So what does it mean that there are different colored horses that are all waiting in the Dale? It means that these horses, so to speak, have been throughout the world, and that's why there are different colors. They're representing different countries, and they're coming to report to the general in charge that, yes, it's peaceful in our country and here and there, in which case the head malach says, so enough Hashem, if it's a time of peace, then you should have rachamim over Yerushalayim and arei Yehuda asher ze'am tozeh shevim shana. Now you're supposed to say, I know 70 years. Where do you know 70 years from? Who said this idea? Which again tells you that nevuot reverberate historically. Just like we discussed the Chashmonim's relationship to nevuot Chagai, so here I want you to see, they're talking about Nevuat Yirmiyahu, he's the 70-year man. And they're basically saying the 70 years are up. So this is a little difficult because, again, here Yirmiyahu was talking about 70 years of Babylonian power. And everyone knows, were the 70 years of Babylonian power up? Yes, yeah, so one way of understanding this is that they're saying, come on, Hashem, I thought Yirmiyahu's 70 years are over, which means that things are at peace, things should be better for us. But what we're going to see is that there's also a reinterpretation of that nevuah. Again, if the 70 years are over, but we still don't have a Beis HaMikdash, then what's going on? So here the explanation is that Zechariah is going to be taking, and or this nevuah is telling us that the 70 years of Galut Babel also apply to Korban Yerushalayim. Everyone see that? That's called the reinterpretation of a nevuah. Hashem, if there were 70 years of Galut and now they're over, then how about the 70 years of Korban? They're nearly over. Isn't it time to now send us Dvarim Nikumim? Isn't it time for consolation? Yes, indeed. Again, I've already let out my wrath and my jealousy upon Zion. Ketzav gadol ani kotzeif. Again, going back to Pasuk Bet, that indeed, now it's time for the wrath against the Goyim. Basically, I am going to have Nechumim from Yisrael, which corroborates what we just saw in Haggai, that it's a time for Shalom, and now it's time then for what? For Chorban Yerushalayim to be reversed. Right? By the way, what's going on during the same time period? During the second year of Dayavish, what is going on? Haggai is encouraging everyone and tell them, he's telling them, go build the Beis HaMikdash, and if you don't, then agriculturally, you are going to suffer. So can anyone tell me, what's the difference? Why do I need two Nevi'im who are going to be giving these messages? One can argue that psychologically, the people need more support. The other is, who is Haggai really addressing? Do you remember the beginning of his Nevuah, the Ketuvot of Haggai?
Zerubbabel
and Yehoshua ben Yotzadak, right? He's addressing the political and the religious leadership. Who's Zechariah talking to? Very nice. I would say the masses. Right, so even though the leadership has to be the one to take charge, to expedite the entire building endeavor, when it comes to recognizing that, okay, now's the time that we're going to have a transformation of Yerushalayim, that's going to be a message of consolation that the masses need. Which brings us to Pasuk Tzayim, Lachin Kol Marasham, Shafti Yerushalayim Rachamim, which fits in beautifully also with Pasuk Gimel of Shuvu Elai, yes, Hashem, I am returning to Yerushalayim. Even though, ideally, Zechariah said, you should be the one to initiate. Hashem says, look, I'm returning to Yerushalayim Rachamim, Beiti Yibaneba, and this is where we understand that reversal of the Lot Rachim at Yerushalayim is a reference specifically to the Beis HaMikdash. Yes, my house will be built within it, no Hashem Tzvot, v'kav yinata al Yerushalayim. But here, what it means by a kav, as opposed to the anach that appears in Amos, is, again, a leveler for the sake of building. Right? Building is going to start in Yerushalayim. Od krali mor ko'amar Hashem Tzvot, od tfutzen arayim yitov. Wait till you see, says Hashem, through the Navi. Very soon, again, all the goodness is going to spread forth from the city. Here we go. Now what we're going to see is a series of these marot. These marot, each one is going to corroborate the basic message of Yerushalayim, which is really going to be rebuilt. Right, so the next thing he sees are arba kranot. What's a keren? Not with a mem, keren, with a kuf and a nun. It's a horn, right? So he sees four horns. What is it a reference to? What's a horn? So again, if you look in your English translation, it will say he sees specifically four battling kranot, right? This was used as artillery. And what is this used for? Vayomer lamalach adover bima ila vayomer Eli. Notice that he still doesn't understand. Vayomer Eli ila kronot asher zevut Yudav et Yisrael v'Yushalayim. These are the battling rams, so to speak, that did what? That broke Yerushalayim, right? These were the Babylonian, this was the Babylonian artillery that came and basically raised Yerushalayim to the ground. Apparently, in the middle of this Mareh, and you're going to see the relationship between them in just a minute, he sees another one. Vayir'ine Hashem arba harashim. Next thing you know, he sees four harashim. What's a harash? Close. Melshon chorei. Very nice. Again, so it's actually a machloket. Whether harashim means a silversmith, right? That's where we get the idea. Remember, the harashu masger. Very nice. Or melshon choresh, right? Plows. The truth is that they both stem from the same etymology. What is the plow made of? It's metalworks, right? So no matter how you want to see it, he sees four works of metal. How's that? Again, the chances are, you're going to see from the continuation that he's talking about four metal plows that he sees. And what are they doing? Again, they're almost ready. And he said, what are they doing here? After the kranot, sorry, what are these harashim doing over here? He says, Eila kranot asher zeruat Yehuda. This tells me that the two scenes are actually intertwined. These are the horns that destroyed Yehuda, kafi ish lo nasa rosho, and no one was able to pick his head up against them. Vayavo elu lachrid otam liadot et karnot agoyim hanusim karen al eret Yehuda lezarota. And these, what's the other these, if these are the four kranot? And these four plows are coming to destroy the kranot. Right? These are going to be the plows to plow down, again, the weapons. What's interesting, by the way, what does it mean the plows are going to destroy the weapons? That's why I think that there's an added significance, not just saying that these are works of metal, but dafka plows. And that plows, an agricultural mechanism, is going to destroy an artillery, and it's going to destroy a military mechanism. What does this remind you of? Of Yeshayahu, right? Amicha, yes. Yafem ma'od. That their weapons, their military weapons, are going to be transformed to agricultural devices. And the whole idea is that the land, based on the pasuk right before, the land is going to sprout, the land is going to blossom, and through the agricultural success of the land, basically, this will cancel, this will undermine the destruction that the kranot caused. Isn't this a beautiful nevuah? Okay, next. Here we go. Pasuk Hey, Vesa inai ve'rev inei ish uviyado chevel mida. Here it gives us a sense that he sees them right away. What word tells me that this is all happening very quickly? It's one vision after the next. V'hinei, right? It's just there. There's a man who has a measuring tape in his hand. Va'omar, ana ata olech. Right? This is a beautiful scene. He's asking, again, according to the Rambam in his Nebuah, according to the Barbanel, he actually sees this happening before him. Ve'yomer Eli lamod et Yerushalayim. I'm coming to measure Yerushalayim. Lorok kamarach ba v'kamarach ba, to measure its length and its width. Ve'hinei ha'malach ha'dover v'yotzei ha'malach acher yotzei l'kratov. Remember, we saw that there's a lot of interaction between the malachim over here. So he has his personal malach, but there are other malachim. Ve'yomer Elav, roots, daber al hanar halaz. His personal malach says, okay, Zachariah, I'm taking a little break over here. So he turns to another malach and he says, you run to this na'ar. Who's the na'ar he's referring to? Zachariah. Many want to claim based on here that Zachariah is a relatively young nabi, but not necessarily in the eyes of a malach. He's a na'ar, meaning he really needs help, right? Again, go help him, right? Understand what's going on. So malach number two runs and he explains, prazot yishev Yerushalayim. The meaning of this vision is that Yerushalayim, what does it mean to be an ear pruza? As opposed to, I'll help you out, an ear im choma. You know the Sermon Sacha Megillah, right? That's not prazot. And so, prazot means? Very nice. Spread out, meaning without a wall. Why? Two reasons why you won't build a wall around a city. Why not build a wall around a city? Two reasons. Either you're not afraid, meaning you don't need fortification. Sorry. Or too big. That's exactly it. It's so spread out that, and it keeps on spreading, that we just can't build a wall anymore. By the way, when did this really happen? You know this, right? The beginning of the 1900s. Moshe Montefiore. Too many people living within the Solomon Gates of Yerushalayim. Again, disease rampant. Not sufficient water and food sources. So what did he do? It's time to move beyond the walls, right? You have to move outside of the walls. The walls contain everyone. You can't be contained. How far does Yerushalayim extend today? Some people say this is a fulfillment of Nevuat Zachariah. You have to get excited. Where are the borders of Yerushalayim today? North. Where's the northern? You should really know this. Where's the northern border of Yerushalayim? What's the area called? Yes, Pesgat Ze'ev, Neve Yaakov. Right, which is very interesting because And that's really considered still part of Yerushalayim. That's where the Rakevet HaKalah goes through. Just nod your heads. Excellent. You've seen this, right? In Yerushalayim this year. Why is this beautiful? Again, because really during the time of Tanakh, was that Yerushalayim? No, that was Givon. Again, that was Adam. That was, again, all those areas up north. Shar Binyamin, we call that today. Basically, again, now these now have been extensions of Yerushalayim, parallel, as you know, to various Arab settlements. Okay, southern area of Yerushalayim. Good luck. What do you call the most southern area of Yerushalayim today? And in 1948, it was Ramat Rachel, right? It was the southern border of Yerushalayim. But now there's Malcha, right? There's the extension of Gilo. Again, Gilo and Malcha go farther south. Thank you. Beautiful. Arnona. Another one? Oh, Har Choma. Yeah, thank you. Yes, Yashikolachvara. Beautiful. Vienna, Har Choma is now, but I would even say, yes, Har Choma, more southern than Ramat Rachel, no question. And then on the other side, you have the Gilo Malcha area. I don't know if you know this. If I go through the Minharot, on my way to Gush Etzion, there's another community called Tzur Hadassah, right? And they actually, they're considered part of the municipality of Yerushalayim. Right? Now, the truth is that they always want to be separate because Jerusalem taxes are very high, right? But they're considered part of Yerushalayim. Okay, how about to the east? This you all know. What is the eastern side? You really do. Anna, if I'm going out, I'll just picture this. Spinning past Har HaZeitim, where do I get to? So Ma'ale Adumim. Now Ma'ale Adumim really is, do we consider that part of Yerushalayim today? No, they have their own municipality and everything. But what the government says is, look, you know, when you go to the east, again, just picture yourselves going, again, from the Har HaZeitim, I would say the whole area of French Hill, right? You're picturing this with me, Ramat Eshkol. But then there's like open territory, and the Likud government is leaving it open because, as you know, there's still a freeze on settlements in this area. But the hope is that will be called Yerushalayim Rabbati, that they'll fill in that area with housing all the way to Ma'ale Adumim, and then they'll even consider Ma'ale Adumim part of Yerushalayim. Isn't that amazing? So notice, like, where we are right now. We are, like, so far. Again, so how about west? Sorry? Kol HaKavod. Very nice. Yafeh. Yafeh Ma'od. I was waiting for someone to say, like, in Karim, and I wanted to say, no, farther. Keep going. Dvor is 100% right. Mevaseret. Mevaseret and Yafeh. Mevaseret and Tzur Hadassah. Again, one to the south and one to the west, and they link up over here. Basically, are the two that they debate. Meaning, Mevaseret really wants to be its own as well, but technically they're considered part of Yerushalayim. And that's why there's a machloket in Mevaseret, especially, again, do they keep one day of Purim or two? Again, are they considered part of Chomas? Or everyone says, well, technically, yes, they are considered part of the wall today of Yerushalayim, even though it's Pruzat today. Why is it Pruzat today? Because it's a fulfillment of Nevuat Zechariah. Isn't that amazing to see before your very eyes? Again, how Yerushalayim has spread, really spread. Some people say that it will spread all the way to Gush Etzion, and it will spread all the way to Tel Aviv, again, on the west. You never know. So let's continue over here. By the way, saying that Yerushalayim is going to spread doesn't just mean demographically it's going to spread, or, again, in terms of the measurements of the city. Rather, it means that the values... Very nice. That will be considered the center, and the values will come from Yerushalayim. So back to this idea, Yerushalayim will be the epicenter, again, of everything going on in Eretz Yisrael, and perhaps even of the world. So, again, that's the idea that you find over here. And back to now, again, Pasuk Chet, now we understand this. Too many people are going to be living in the city. And why aren't they going to need a wall? I will be their wall, says Hashem. Right? A beautiful idea. Hashem is going to be our fiery security. A term that you already saw in Haggai. Do you remember this? So here you really see the relationship between these Nevi'im who are giving very similar messages, but incorporating very, very different media over here. By the way, can anyone tell me why does the Malach, I was joking when I said the Malach took a break, right? He said, okay, he turns to a different Malach and he says, you go explain to Zechariah what's going on. Where is this Malach going? So we saw that one Malach is carrying a measuring tape in order to measure the dimensions of the city. Now you understand, why did the Malach next to Zechariah have to leave and help out for a minute? What was he helping out with? Very nice. Okay, because we're about to measure the dimensions of the Beit Midrash. You hold the measuring tape over there, and I'm going to hold it over here. Right? So the Malach said, wait, I have to help the other Malach. And he sends someone else to tell Zechariah. And you're supposed to say, why can't he do both? He's a Malach. What do you know about Malachim? Very nice. Only one should go for this time. Ah, okay. Okay, here we go. Next, back to Pasuk Yud. Hoi, hoi! Venusu me'eretz afon ha'mashem. Gena, so now it's time. Run away from Eretz Afon. Where are the northern kingdoms, the northern lands that are being referred to?
Bavel,
thank you. So get away from Bavel. Meaning, if I were you, because I know that I spread you about to the four corners, but hoi tzion himalti yoshevet bat Bavel. But those in Bavel, it's time to run away to Tzion, because what did Hashem just say? He's going to take out his vengeance on the other goyim. So if I were you, I would really make aliyah before the November elections. There, that's the point. Anna? Oh, okay. I think Talia's Democrat. No, she's from Milwaukee. Hey, Milwaukee's Democratic?
It's a swing state.
Swing state. Oh, that's scary. So, has Talia won your vote yet?
We'll see.
Isn't that amazing? Okay, I'm sorry. I should not share my political views over here. Even though I can tell you, do you remember when, no, you do not remember, when Jesse Jackson was running for Democratic nomination in 1984, right? 1984, yeah. You weren't, and that's why I realized that you wouldn't remember this. So I was, how old was I? I was 11 years old. You're alive. Remember this? There, I just dated myself. And I remember my parents on the day before, right, the Democratic nomination was, right, it's always on a Sunday, Monday. And so the Friday before, they took us all to the post office to renew our passports. And they said, if Jesse Jackson would even win the Democratic nomination, even if he won't become president, but he would be the Democratic nominee, then we're all moving to Israel. I say, chaval. That's right. But it was very scary. He's known to be. He was known, you know, as a very candid, again, overt anti-Semite. So, Anna, here, you basically see this in time as well. If I were you, says Zaharia, I would just leave Bavel right away and escape to Tzion. I always tell people, don't you want to, like, beat the Mashiach rush, you know? No? Okay, so what Zaharia is saying to it. Pasuk Yud Aleph. Kikol amar Hashem Tzvot, achar kavod, shlachani al agoyim hashem limetzchem, ki anogei abachem, nogei abavateinu. Again, Hashem says yes, because now, and I am sending, again, my, we always discuss when the day of God comes, the manifestation of God, it can be very scary. Scary for us, scary for the other goyim. So Hashem says, yes, now it's time for me to punish the goyim who came and took your spoils. Because someone who hurts you, it's as if he's hurting, again, the pupil of God, right? That we are, we sing this in, again, Dror Yikra, right? That we are the bateinu of Hashem. We are the apple of Hashem's eye. We are in the center, right? That's the real term. We are in the center of Hashem's eye. And Hashem says, anyone who hurts you, it's as if they're hurting me. You know these from the Haftarot of Shevet and Echaita. Beautiful, very nice. This is an exact reversal of all the nevuot of Korban that you've seen in Yirmiyahu. So time to be happy because I'm coming back, says Hashem. Again, a reference to the Masa Merkava that left the Beit HaMikdash in Sefer Yechezkel. I'm coming now to renew my Shechina in your midst. These terms obviously reminiscent of the restoration of the Brit from Sefer Shemot. Wait till you see. Once God is back, then you'll know that Hashem sent me. And he will restore Yehuda to his land. You will see that Yerushalayim will be reselected. Can anyone tell me why this is so significant? Don't we know this? We always spoke about the restoration of Yerushalayim. What's going on during this time that's, I would say, forces the Navi to talk about specifically the restoration of Yerushalayim? Yerushalayim will be rebuilt. Yerushalayim will be the epicenter. Yerushalayim, again, as opposed to Shechem, beautiful, anti the Shomronim. Has Kobasar. Again, silent everyone, because Hashem is waking up now. These are the initial stages of redemption, the initial stages of the rebuilding of Yerushalayim, so stay tuned. And I mean that not only in Zechariah, but the Ezrat Hashem for tomorrow. We're going to more or less finish Zechariah, believe it or not. Again, the Marot go very quickly. Some of them are interesting. Again, I always say this perhaps is the basis for some of the interesting Harry Potter scenes that you know of. But we're going to just basically understand, even though the Abarbanel and Zechariah is extremely long, right? Because all of these have various interpretations. But we're just going to be reading the Pshat, if that's okay, and understanding the various messages that ultimately are going to bring us to how he describes the eschatological time in the last four prakim of Zechariah. So hopefully we'll get to at least Perek Yud tomorrow, and then our last shiur is going to be on Friday at 1 o'clock. You don't have, right, Edahay, you have tomorrow, as you know, for Hafresh Akala, and then we'll have at 1 o'clock on Friday are concluding Ends of Zachariah and Malach Yeshua. Okay, enjoy your shenter making. And my room.